Hello everyone, welcome to the Australian CISO, a podcast for current and aspiring CISOs and anyone who has an interest in cybersecurity. My name is Richard. Hi everyone, welcome back to the Australian CISO podcast. It's a place where you join all of us in the journey to becoming the next Australian CISO. I'm overly excited this week as this is my first midweek podcast release. Let's see how it goes. So this is episode 8 entitled, Ring Ring, Why Don't You Give Me a Call? We know 8 is a lucky number for some. Maybe this episode 8 will be lucky for you. Let's get stuck into it. We're going to look at a phone call I received this week. I believe my analysis of it will help those of you on the journey to becoming the Australian CISO. I did receive another phone call last week with a number of great learnings concerning planning, but I'll have to leave that for perhaps episode 10 or later. Okay, let's get stuck into the phone call. So I've got a good friend in the security industry. We talk most days. And despite the 20-year age difference, Harry and I have a pretty good relationship. Sometimes Harry calls me asking for advice. Sometimes I call him for advice. It's a good feeling that someone values your opinion enough to reach out for help. But there's a problem. Almost without fail, Harry's got a habit of calling me about every 2 weeks and saying, hey, check out this job on LinkedIn. Think I should apply for it? What do you reckon? So for the past few years, I've done a quick analysis in my head and responded with either, yeah, looks good, or no, I really don't think it would suit you. And the no has always been based around the pay or the location or the seniority, i.e. it's been way too senior or way too junior. Now, this has been going on for a good 3 years now, probably 5 years if I think about it. And it's only recently that I came to a realization. What was that, I hear you ask? Let me tell you. First, let me explain something. Some people cry time poor. I'm not time poor. I'm more time optimized. Within reason, I use up all my time doing things, whether that's bike riding, jiu-jitsu, some charity work, researching security topics, going to the MCG to watch the football, or playing in virtual golf tournaments with my golf team called Up the Six Irons. I'm always on and I'm always doing something. So where am I going with this discussion? Well, after getting fortnightly calls on the same topic, hey, what do you think about this job? What about this one? Is this one any good? And after spending copious amounts of time discussing the merits and downfalls of each job, I have only now come to a conclusion. And that is, Harry needs a career path he can stick to. He needs to determine what he wants his resume to look like in, say, 10 years, and then nut out how he's going to get there. So I then thought about some of the listeners of the Australian CISO who may not have mapped out a career path, and who, like Harry, may just be meandering along. We all need a career path we can stick to. So a suggested career path process, I'm going to detail now a real win-win-win situation, i.e. to help him with his career, to help me retrieve a little more time back in my week, and hopefully to help you in your journey towards becoming the Australian CISO. If you're not following something similar, at least think about what I'm about to tell you. Because without a plan, you're just going to be journeying down a track without much purpose. You may come to dead ends or roundabouts and maybe starting back at the drawing board. In that time, without a plan of attack, you'll probably be getting frustrated and possibly not optimizing your time. You may also be asking yourself, why aren't I getting that job? If you don't plan for it, it just ain't gonna happen. We only have a certain amount of time on this earth. Use it wisely, my friends. Use it wisely. Most of us have regrets from the past. We can't change that. But what you can do is change your future. And this is the advice I gave my friend Harry on his working future. Please at least consider this approach. Your future self may thank you for following it. The approach does use the GROW model, which you may be aware of. GROW is an acronym for goals, reality, options, and W for wrap up. So this is the model I'm going to walk through with Harry, and I recommend you do something similar. Okay, here we go. So the first part of the GROW model is G for goals. Think about your goals for your security career. Where do you want to go? Is it a manager, a head of security, a chief information security officer, a general manager of security? Do you want to be technical or just a generalist or a bit of both? Do you want to work for the big names, i.e. the banks, smaller organizations, or a bit of both? Do you want to work in a small team or a large security team? Do you want to work for the public service or some big, large ASX monolith? Think about these options. You don't have to make a decision right now. Just think about it. I reckon within a couple of weeks, you'll have a much clearer idea in your head. Without having a goal, you'll be holding yourself back from success. You do need to know your destination so you can map out a journey. So for this example, I'm going to say your goal is to become a head of security in a smaller organization to start off with the aim of moving to what I will call a bigger job in the future. Okay, that's good. You've made some progress already. You've decided that the G for goal for you is a head of security position in a smaller company. Great. Now let's move on to the next letter, R. R stands for reality. What is reality now for you? Let me take some liberties here on your behalf if you want to be ahead of. Reality now is that you're probably lacking a few of what I'd call the essentials for a head of role. So let's look at some of the characteristics you're going to need in that head of position. Experience. You're probably lacking some working experience as far as time goes, either as an individual contributor or as a team member. Management. You may not have managed a team, or if you have, it may have been managing or supervising one or two people. Strategy. You may not have ever written a strategy. That's okay, but you're going to need that skill in any higher roles you go for. Budgets. You may never have had a budget before to manage. Again, the higher you go, the more responsibility you'll be given, and budgets will be one of those responsibilities. Presentation skills. How are yours? Good, bad, somewhere in between. The ability to communicate is essential as you move up the ranks. Relationship skills. Can you develop relationships within your organization, or are you a bit of an introvert? To me, relationships in the workplace are vital if you want to succeed. Remember, this is the reality check. Be honest with yourself. Drop the ego. I'm guessing reality has kicked in now, and perhaps you realize you're lacking in some or possibly all of these essential requirements of being a head of security, if you haven't realized that already. This R for reality really acts as a gap analysis between where you are now and where you want to be. So you've got your goal, head of security team. You know what reality is, i.e. you're currently lacking a few skills in, I don't know, budgeting, presentation skills, or managing teams. Let's now look at the third letter of GROW, which is O for options. Now, what are your options? How are you going to get there? And this is probably the most important part of this GROW analysis. You've done your reality check and realized you need an uplift in these characteristics for the head of position. So what options have you got to bring yourself up to speed? Let's look at each of those characteristics. Experience. How are you going to beef up your experience? Can you do some cross-training with another team? Performance appraisals can be a good way of cementing these types of cross-training opportunities, and there's no reason why you can't raise this type of request now with your manager. Ask for cross-training where you need it. Remember, if you don't ask, you never get. What about management? Are there opportunities to manage a small team at your current workplace? Or can you shadow or follow one of the other managers to see how they do it? They say it's hard to get a job without experience, and hard to get experience without a job. Well, assuming you've already got a job, you can get more experience and management experience by asking another manager to shadow them. Strategy. Could you ask to help with the next strategy document? If not, ask someone in a different area of your organization. It doesn't matter if it's an IT strategy or a finance strategy, just get some experience. At least ask them how they created the strategy. This is an important component of being a CISO or head of, and we will cover that in another episode, i.e. how to create a strategy. Try Googling developing a security strategy. Every bit of research helps. Maybe locate someone on LinkedIn with the CISO title and ask them how they developed a strategy. What about skills? Can you ask to cross-skill with another person or team? Could you do an external course to uplift any skills you feel deficient with? What about budgets? You may have never been involved in budgeting. Ask your manager or the CISO. They love it when staff show interest in these matters. And just by the way, have you noticed there's a lot of collaboration required to help you uplift all your skills here? Collaboration is key. Presentation skills. No avoiding this. Ask to go on a course. Watch some YouTube videos. Watch and learn from good presenters in your company. Maybe do a small presentation to your team or to another department. Be bold and ask for feedback so you can improve your presentation skills. Consider getting a presentation coach. The investment will be worth it. And then there's relationship skills. These can still be developed if you're an introvert like me. It becomes learned behaviour. Investigate some books on the topic. Watch how people at work with great relationship skills do it and consider mimicking their behaviour. Okay, so at this stage, you've got your goal, which is that head of security position. You've done a bit of a reality check and listed some options. Now it's time to wrap it all up with the W for wrap-up option. This is the last stage of the process. Hooray! As the name suggests, this is really a summary of everything you've considered and committed to. So in this example, wrap-up looks something like this. Okay, I've decided my goal is a head of security role in a small organization. Reality is that I'm going to develop my skills in ABC doing XYZ. I'll gain these skills in-house by practicing and mimicking behaviours of others and by doing some external training. I'll also seek a mentor at my company or externally. Then finish it off with an affirmative statement. I will be ready by, insert date here, I will start applying for similar roles at that time. Now be positive and tell yourself, I will be successful. That's how you set a career path. Now, without adding any more complication to this, you've set your goal, you now know how to get there, and you've made your positive affirmations. Now, there's only one piece missing here. How will you know when the right job pops up? So either you'll get a call on the phone from a recruiter about a job, or you'll see something on Seek or LinkedIn. Given the GROW model that you've gone through earlier, the following is the process you should then undertake and one which I would recommend that you take. Number one, does the job align with your G for goals, i.e. is it the goal job or is it an interim point to that goal? Don't be confused by the big bucks they're promising you. Focus. Does this role align with my goal? Two, can I actually do this role? Assuming this is a role that is the goal or an interim step, apply. You never get the jobs you never apply for, but be realistic. I actually had a global role about 20 years ago. It was way beyond me. I felt miserable. I just wasn't capable of doing the job. It was beyond me. I lacked the skills, relationship skills, experience, presentation skills, the budget skills, all those skills that we've mentioned that you'd need for a head of role. Way beyond me, and in retrospect, I shouldn't have put my hand up for the role. So be realistic when that job pops up. If you think you can meet 75% of the criteria, apply for it. But again, be realistic. Another question you've got to ask yourself, is this an industry or organization that interests me? I have not applied for roles sometimes due to the reputation of the company, or it was an industry or sector that I just wasn't interested in. The next question you've got to ask yourself, is this the right time, right now? I.e., if you're in the middle of some family dramas, a marriage breakup, a new baby, or your child is starting year 12, anything like that, this may not be the right time to move jobs. Remember, we are employed in the cyber industry. There are always jobs out there, although no job is guaranteed, and we are competing against more and more people now. Then refer back to the job itself and your resume. Will this role enhance, downgrade, or just maintain my resume attractiveness? I.e., if you're already, say, a security analyst at Bank A, why would you consider doing a similar role at Bank B for $20,000 more? It's going to slow your progress, not improve it. Do your research, though. Perhaps there are more opportunities at Bank B. Then something I think about is, do I know anyone who works at this potential employer? Do I know someone, or does a friend know someone who could tell me a bit more about it? I really want to know what the culture's like there as well. What do they think of working there? Are there lots of opportunities? What's my potential boss like? Is the job flexible enough for me? Maybe I'm used to working at home a lot. Will this job force me in 3 to 4 days a week into the workplace? Do I really want that? And the eighth and very last consideration is the money question. What is the money going to be like? The recruiter must have given me some indication. Is the money more than I'm on? Is it the same, but I have a better title that might help me achieve me along my journey? Maybe it's less base pay, but there's a promise of a bonus. Now, just be careful when they talk about a bonus. I know someone who was promised by HR when he accepted a job a couple of years ago that everyone gets their bonus. So what happened? In the first year, he received much less than the supposed bonus that gets paid every year without fail. And to rub salt into the wound, in the second year, they dropped the bonus altogether. Just be careful of accepting less pay with the promise that, oh, everyone gets 100% of their bonus. It doesn't always happen. Remember, it's a bonus, not a guaranteed pay component. So summarizing this episode, you've set your goal, you've done a reality check, and you've considered different options to achieve your goal. In a wrap-up moment, you've decided which options to take to achieve your goals. You are committed. And when that call does come through, or when the recruiter does call you with what initially sounds like a great opportunity, you're going to consider the following: the alignment of this job to your goal, whether this job is way beyond your capabilities or whether you can do it. You're going to consider the organization, the industry it operates in, and you're going to do your research into the boss and whether there are future opportunities within this company to grow. You're also going to consider how flexible this employer is and how that matches with your expectations. Lastly, you're going to think about the money on offer. Yeah, if it's less than what you're on, it's going to have to be a pretty good opportunity. I.e., it may give you the title you desire in a much smaller organisation, which would be a good springboard into your next job. Well, everyone, that's a wrap for episode 8. I know it dragged on a bit, but I really wanted to provide some good analysis for those of you on your journey to becoming the Australian CISO or a head of security or similar. Now, episode 9 is coming out this Sunday, the 2nd of April. It's a really enjoyable interview that I did with a lady called Veronica. Like you, she's another one of those unsung heroes that just works diligently to protect customer and corporate information. Please listen to episode 9. Veronica speaks extremely well, and I do, obviously, recommend you listen to episode 9. As usual, I thank you all so very much for listening to the podcast. And until we meet again, it's bye for now. This podcast is written, produced and presented by myself, Richard Herron, and hosted on Podomatic. Any statements I make are my own or have been attributed to the originator. My personal views are mine. They do not necessarily reflect the views of my employer. The podcast is recorded using Audacity, using a Rode NET USB Plus microphone. The music is provided by Pixabay. The music is called Pluck Loop 91 beats per minute.